Someone once asked the question, what would be the best news that you could hear about God? What would be the best news for you to hear about God? And then he went on to give the answer himself. He says, wouldn't it be to know that God has a heart? A heart that loves, that cares, that sometimes breaks for us, that can weep, that can laugh. But here's the thing. When thinking of that, my question was, what would be the best news that God could hear about us? Wouldn't that also be that God would look at us and say, I'm so glad to know that you have a heart. A heart that can be broken for others. A heart that could love. A heart that could care. A heart that would give. A heart like mine. When Jesus talks about that, he has a term for that. He says, Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus calls it mercy. Question is, what do we mean? What do we say? What does God ask when we speak of the word mercy? Because the first thing we think is, oh, I'm going to have mercy on you and I'm sorry for you. Is that all that mercy means? Blessed are those who are sorry for others now and then they will receive them. What does God mean? I think there are three beautiful dimensions to this word, having mercy. And the first, mercy means living generously. What do I mean with living generously? Let me explain. The day that I stand before God and I realize how blessed I am, and how God cares for me, and how God loves for me, that's the day when mercy happens in my life, where I can turn my life around and say, I can live towards others with open hands. With the blessing that God has blessed me, I can bless others. And I'm not just talking about financial blessings and things like that. It's like looking at someone and saying, wow, look how God has blessed them. How amazing is that? I really love them that they can be blessed like that. Giving them their place under the sun. Allowing them to live under God's grace. Isn't it so often that we have the opposite of the generous? We call it jealous. Oh, look what they have. Why don't I have that? I serve God too. Why doesn't God give me that? Mercy means living generously with that which God has given me, being blessed by that, and then being able to live generously towards others and say, may God bless you. May God care for you in abundance. May you enjoy what God has given you. My hands and my heart and my life is open to you. Ever thought about mercy that way? I think mercy has a second dimension. And for this, I want to take you to Matthew 5, 7 again. But in the message, says, you are blessed when you care. For at the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. Living a life of being merciful is living generously, but it is also living carefully. Carefully means caring for others, being there for others. And that's why I love the way that Eugene Peterson translated this. Giving of myself for others. Sorry for the folks online, they won't be able to see this. That's living carefully. because it's not about the beans that we're collecting. It's about the care that is going to be given to those who do not have and who need. And through what God has blessed us, we can care for them. Careful living also means getting out of my own shoes and getting into the shoes of someone else and just walking a mile in their shoes for a moment and not doing this, but doing this. Isn't that what Paul says, Galatians 6? You know that so well. Carry each other's burdens, and in doing that, you are fulfilling God's law. I told you this before, but just a reminder, how do we do this? We did the practical thing with the kids when we would take them on camps. We'd take them away, and they'd get a map, and they had to get back to the main camp again. But we'd tie them together in groups. We'd tie them together, so they tethered. And then we'd give them two bricks to carry. We give one to the child in front and one to the other one at the back. And they'd set off on a kilometer or a 2 kilometer hike. Here's the thing. If they left the bricks with those two kids at the front and at the back, those two kids were ticked off to the nth degree because they had to carry it. But they would also be tired because they were carrying this extra burden. But if they were careful enough, they would hand the bricks off to each other. And each one would get an opportunity to carry the brick. And when they got to the end, they didn't even realize that they carried the bricks. Because when we live carefully, we give mercy and we carry each other's burdens. And it's not just about me, but about you. There is a third dimension. And the third dimension says, we live towards others, and I'm going to read that to you in a second, graciously. We can also use the word compassionately or forgiving, because mercy also means never making a judgment. I'm going to talk about that in 1 second. Let me read this for you. Jesus says, Luke chapter 6, I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us. How does He live towards us? Generously and graciously. Even when we are at our worst. Our Father is kind, so you be kind. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. And you'll find life given back, but not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Grace gives birth to grace. Being merciful means living generously, giving with open hands. Living mercifully means living in such a way that I am careful. But living mercifully is also living a life of giving grace. Compassion. The word for mercy that the Greek uses is the word eleemon. Eleemon, when you go look for its counterpart in the Hebrew, is the beautiful word ruchama, which I have taught you before from the book of Hosea. When God speaks to Hosea in the beginning and gives the children names, the one child's name is Lo Ruchama. Lo means not, and Ruchama means compassion. But at the end of the book of Isaiah 14, when God uses that word again, it's the people speaking, and they stand before God and say, Lord, we have messed up. Just look at us. And then they say these words, but with you alone will the fatherless find ruchamah, compassion. It is easy for us to look at people and to condemn. It is easy for us to look at people and want to turn our backs. It is easy for us to look at people and just shake our heads at the way that they live because they're on drugs. And they do all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't be doing. And why is that woman selling her body? And why does that man drink so much? Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will learn how to live graciously, forgiving. And maybe that's the hardest part of mercy. It's easy to live graciously towards those that I love and those that care for me. It's easy for me to live graciously towards you. But sometimes it's not that easy to live graciously toward those that have hurt me so deeply, that have done things that are unspoken. You are blessed when you can live with grace towards those as well. We started with those words. The best thing to hear about God is that God has a heart. And I've used this little book so many times. And you can see I have used this book. It is beautiful. He's gone to be with the Lord now. Floyd McClung. He was director of Youth with a Mission in Europe. An American. Lived in Amsterdam in the red light district. But there's this one story in this book that has always touched my heart. Floyd was working in Oslo doing a course there. And it was a tough week. Got on the plane to fly from Oslo back to Amsterdam. And he said on the way to the airport, he was sitting in the taxi saying, Lord, it's been a tough week. I'm so tired. I'm just so done. Can you just help me on the plane? Can I just have a seat where there's no one next to me and I can just be alone? So he gets in and he gets the seat in the bulkhead. No one in front of him. He can stretch out his legs. All good. No one next to him. And then a guy wanders in from the back and he comes sit right behind him. But he says, as the guy sits down, he can just smell. He's just reeking of alcohol so badly. And the guy looks around and he says, oi, what you doing? And Floyd was sitting with his Bible and Floyd said, I'm just thinking, leave me alone. He says, I'm reading my Bible. The guy says, oh, you're reading your Bible. And he gets up, walks around and he comes and he sits right next to him. And he's saying, Lord, I asked you so graciously, please. So the plane takes off and the guy says, why would you read your Bible? And Floyd said, I really don't want to talk to this guy. He says, because I love the Lord and I serve the Lord. He says, and that just ticked him off completely. And then the guy exploded. He says, you love God? Really? That real, mean, horrible being called God? You care about him. You love him. And Floyd realized there's something much deeper going on. And then this guy just unpacked his life before him. And he said, your God, 5 months ago, took away my wife at the birth of our last little baby. And I was left with 4 children. And it was so hard for me. And I didn't know how to take care of them. And I started drinking. And I lost my job. And then people came and they took my kids away. And I'm alone. And that's why I'm getting out of Oslo. Just to be away because I can't stand it. And that's why I'm drinking so badly. And you talk about a loving God. Where do you get this? So Floyd says, let me get my glasses. He realized so much more, so much hurt going on, because what's the first thing that he thought? Leave me alone. What was the second thing he thought? You're drunk. I don't want to talk to a drunk. What's the third thing? Man, I don't want to be doing this God thing with you now. I just want to be alone. Blessed are the merciful, those who know how to live graciously. So this is what he says. As I flew on the aeroplane with that wounded, hurt man, I was reminded again that many people in our world have no understanding of a loving God, a God who is a loving Father. To speak of a loving God, a God who is a Father, only evokes pain for them and anger. To speak of the Father heart of God to these people without empathizing with their pain verges on cruelty. The only way I could be a friend to that man on the trip to Oslo, from Oslo to Amsterdam, was to be God's love to him, to live graciously, compassionately. I didn't try to give pat answers. There were none. I just let him be angry and then poured some oil on his wounds. He wanted to believe in God, but deep inside his sense of justice had been violated. He needed someone to say it was okay for him to be angry and to tell him that God was angry too. By the time I'd listened and cared and wept with him, living generously, carefully, and graciously, by the time I'd listened and cared and wept with him, he was ready to hear me say that God was hurt more than he was by what happened to his wife and his family. Because no one had ever told him that God has a broken heart. Living mercifully means to have a heart like God. Someone said, and there's a slide for this, Ted, there's two slides. Mercy is a godly infection. It spreads. We've spoken about COVID. And we try to get rid of COVID. Can we take our masks off for mercy? So that this godly infection can just spread through us and through our community and through our lives, that we may live generously and graciously and carefully before God and each other. Because here's the thing. Go to that second slide, Ted. I don't have it written down. Mercy has a built-in multiplication factor. To inject kindness is to create ripples that will spread outwards. And at the center for each set of ripples must be us, the Christian congregation. Mercy starts with me, with you, with us. And as that little drop falls in our community, it'll spread. It'll spread. Problem is this. We can't manufacture it. We can't produce it. We can't just wish for it. It is a godly infection. How do I start living mercifully? How do I get that? There's only one way. Walter Luthi, in his little book, Seligpreisungen, the German of the Beatitudes, he writes this beautiful little story. He says when he was a young boy, they lived next door to their neighbor, and he had this beautiful apple tree, always would bear these beautiful red apples, and he would stand on the other side of the fence just looking at these apples and so wanting. And he said, as he stood there, there was this one branch that was leaning over to their side, and there was a beautiful apple, and he looked around, and there was no one. He thought, I'm going to take that apple. And he reached up, and he was just too short. He just couldn't get it. What he didn't know is that the neighbor was actually there, and he saw all of this. And the neighbor walked up to him and he said, "Hey, Walter, let me help you with that." And he stood there and he thought, "Oh my goodness, I was going to steal the apple and that's so bad." And the neighbor picked the apple and he gave him, and he picked another apple and he gave, and he just kept on picking. And he gave and he said, "Go eat and go give to your family and go give to your friends. There's so many of these apples, just take them." That's how mercy works. When I go stand before God and I'm saying, "I can't do that." And God says, "Relax. I got it." And God infects me. And he gives me God's heart. best news that you could ever hear is that God has a heart. And God gives that heart. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, compassion, love, and care. And forgiveness, brother. Forgiveness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you are so gracious. When we did not deserve, when we stood and you should have judged, you did not. Your heart broke. And when all of our brokenness and our sin and all of that went unto our Lord Jesus and he was crying on that cross, your heart broke for your son. But in that moment of your heart breaking, Lord, your hands went open to us and you were so generous and gracious and you gave us life in all of its abundance. You gave us your heart. Teach us, O Lord. Help us to stand under that apple tree of your mercy. And just will you shower us with that abundance. Infect us with your mercy so that it can spread through our lives into the lives all around us. Help us to forget a little bit more about the judgment and give us more of the compassion. Take away the selfishness and fill us with more generosity. Teach us not to live for ourselves, but to live carefully. Thank you, Lord, that we may ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.